Accession number 20008, real 8.
It's YWOW, real 8.
We started, we went up to a place called Darmstead. We was going to move up, we was going into the attack next morning. And over the air coming that the war had finished. And we was in a hotel, a Jerry Hotel. And of course, the war had finished, so we thought, we went round this hotel, of course, and now Jerry's a mountain. We saw this safe, a hotel safe. We thought we'd blow it open with some track charges, you know. We rigged it all up and blew half a hotel down, and a little hole, little hole in this safe. And when we got in there, all with some Jerry armbands with swastikas on. That's all what was in it. And I got about a half a dozen towels. Lovely, they were a bit rough, roughish things, but they were good towels. So I had half a dozen towels, and I had a knife because I'd lost my knife. I still use the knife. Yeah. That's all I had from there. And then next day that night, the major come up to tell us the attack was off in the morning. Of course, we'd emptied the cellars and boozed up. We was all boozed up. I never heard such a dressing down as the poor old Neverani, the second in command, got put because he was always standing there. Of course, you should have heard the Major Miller. Never heard a bloke. He said, that matter where that bloody war's for you. The language, of course, he was a stickler. He was a nice bloke, easy-going bloke, but he wouldn't have anybody take any laxity or liberties. And God, he did get a dressing down. Good job, of all finished. We'd all finished up on a court martial, I think.
So what was your reaction to the end of the war?
Oh, one of elation. I mean, that was a war finished. But we went back to him. The squadron all together, and we got the half squadrons all together, and of course Bremerhaven is going to be taken over by the American Navy, the American Marines, you see, and they wouldn't go in there while the Russian prisoners weren't Russian prisoners of war, though, so the Yanks wouldn't go in there and take it over. So that finished up that we had to go in with a half squadron of tanks to go and clear out these Russian prisoners of war and round them up with the infantry. Before the Yanks would take over, they weren't going to go. I don't blame them, really, if they could get away with it, but that was the American Navy. That was going to be the American base, you see. I said, well, we see them all waiting there to go in, you know, all come up with the troops, I suppose. I don't know where they come from, but they were going in to take over Bremerhaven.
So was this quite quickly after the end of the war?
Oh, yes, quite quickly, yeah. Oh, yes, Yanks were moving in 4 or 5 days. Within 5 days, I should think, they were in Bremerhaven, you know, sizing up and getting everything. Oh, you've got to give it to the Yanks. They've got the materials. They had everything there ready, you know. Damgate lorries loaded up with everything but a kitchen sink. And they were moving in to make Bremerhaven so that they could get, the ships in and out, because that'd save a devil of a lot of travelling, wouldn't it?
And what were the Russian prisoners of war? Were they prisoners of war of the Germans?
They had been prisoners of war of the Germans, you see. And then, from there, I'll tell you a little story about that. We went to Rottenburg in Germany after that, And that's where the Guards Armoured Division was finished. You know, they paraded with the tanks and they were taken away and they were back in the Guards, you know. The Armoured Division was completely finished. I watched that ceremony. We was in this Air Force place at Rottenburg and I suppose that was a couple of 3 weeks. No, it must have been months. About 3 months after. We'd done two moves after that. We went to a place called Reiki, a small town. And we was based in a schoolhouse in there. And they took all our tanks off us. And they went, we had to clean them all up and they went to Bremerhaven. Or Bremen, somewhere there. Anyway, they were backloaded. They got to go to the flamethrowers were all put on ships for the Far East. And we was, that must have been 4 or 5 months after, I suppose.
I was going to ask you.
VJ Day, you know, I'm getting in between VE Day and VJ Day. We went from Germany right down to Brussels. And we got our plane numbers. They were all numbered, what planes we got to catch in them. And we was going to be flown out to the Far East for the invasion of Japan. And they'd taken all our tanks off us and they'd gone. Well, we got there and they dropped these atomic bombs while we was there. We was in St Mary's Barracks. They dropped one atomic bomb, I think, or two. Anyway, there was a standstill on the thing. We was going to fly the next day. And they put a standstill on it. They cancelled it, more or less. Well, we stayed there another 4 or 5 days to see whether we was... what was going to happen. And then all the way back to Germany.
Can I ask you, did you have any contact with the Germans between, because that would be August 1945, between May and August at all while you were in Bremerhaven and the other two places?
No, really. No, we didn't talk. That was a standard non-fraternisation thing. You wasn't allowed to talk to them or the women and all that. But eventually... when we got back to Reiki, when at VJ Day, we went to a place called Hopston, and then we was more or less formed into a kind of a policing activity under the town majors, you know, to control the, what they call them, not refugees, displaced persons. Of course, they were robbing and looting the Germans, raping after the war. You see, they'd been released, they got a bit of revenge, it's the same as what they're doing in Kosovo. It reminded me of that. And it wasn't so bad as that. So we had to police a certain area. And then we used to... we got to speaking to the Germans then, because... we was working with the what was left of the German police and the SIB and, you know, the not the Red Caps, the people, but they were policemen, actually, from this country, detectives. SIB, they used to come along. Of course, we used to round up the SS Wallers, you know, when we the Germans would tell us, some of them. You know, if he wasn't like that, if we had a German interpreter, they'd sit on and say, so-and-so is home, he was in the SS, and we used to go out in the middle of the night and raid his house and arrest him, you know. We always used to look, you know, under the armpit here was their blood group, all the SS had that. Of course, some of them used to get a surgeon... or a doctor to take it off, but if there was a scar there and the blood group was there, then they were arrested. We used to arrest them, put them in the cell. I used to take them off. They had a special place where they interrogate them. I don't know where they interrogate them, whether they were all right some of the SS weren't they weren't interested in, but we had a whole folder, you know, of people where these atrocities were. You know, we couldn't go through it all, but if we used to arrest somebody, we used to have a look through them, and then they'd be sent to the other place, and they'd either be discharged or something, or they had a special place where they kept them.
So would you do a lot of these raids?
Oh yeah, we had house searches, yeah.
What were you looking for in the house?
Arms, ammunition, all sorts of things. Anything to do with the German army, because you see, they were frightened that there'd be the guerrilla activity, I suppose. But the Germans were so well and truly beaten, they after about 6 or 9 months, we used to be more or less go out on the farms protecting them from the displaced persons. Robbing them. Then we policed all that with the German police and all. We combined with the German police.
German police armed?
Yes, they had rifles. We had revolvers. We all had revolvers in tank crew. But then. You know, the first year after the war, I don't know whether you've heard this, the winter, the first winter after the war, out there they cut the British Army rations. You've ever heard that? They cut the British Army rations to help the Germans because they were starving. I know that for a fact. It was only a little bit, but they did. They didn't allow the British troops to have any coal because of the Germans needed. And what we had to do that first winter, I remember, was go out in the forest and cut the trees down, and the Germans didn't even like that. But we had to go for it to get warmth in the. We had to go down and cut trees, but of course they had all this wood sawn up in these forests, beautiful bits of oak, you know, seasoning, all jacked up and that. And we used to go out and pinch as much wood as we possibly could without sawing it off, and they didn't like it at all. And then I remember the Christmas, they kept pigs. Oh, I don't know where they got them from. I suppose they shanghaied them from Jumjumabal. And the regimental butcher and that, they was up there, they killed these pigs for Christmas, and we made pork sausages and gordon as well. Because I was in this squad of police, you know. We used to get all the information. Tell you another thing. When we was at a place called Hopston, one day, I don't know the full details of it all, but I got the information second hand. An Australian airman come back there, and he had his SIB and all that with him, and they went to the Burgomaster. And it was a hell of a do. They went to the Burgomaster and they got the rolls of the Home Guard. And they went through all these rolls. And then they went round and rounded up all these blokes and arrested them. And took them up to the town hall. And what we found out after was the crew of a plane, I don't know what it was, it bailed out, and the Home Guard took them up beside the Folkestrom, that was, I remember the name now, took them up beside a wood and shot them, and one bloke turned and ran into the wood and got away, and he was the bloke what come back with the SIB to that burgomaster, and they shot all the rest of the crew.
What happened to the burgomaster?
The burgomaster, he only gave the names as Volkerstrom, you see. I don't know what happened to him, but I know they had all those of what were available, what they could arrest, they had them in that town hall.
And what was your role? You were in the police, the regimental police?
Yeah, well, that was, you see, when we come back, we've got no tanks or anything, and they more or less formed us into this police unit to help control the area, because there was so much looting and whatnot going on, and, you know, there is, the Germans would have been arms of any sort. I mean, anything what you saw, what looked like a firearm, was confiscated.
Did you wear anything to distinguish you as?
No, we had a white belt and a black hat. So they used to call us the Schwarze Teufel, Black Devils. That's what, of course, we used to treat them bad, really. When the war finished, I mean, we used to treat them bad. You know, we wouldn't have them walking on the pavement when we walked up. We used to kick them off the pavement and all that. But after a few months, that gradually subsided, you know, when we realised that they were only the same as us. I know they backed Hitler to the hilt, but they were only the same as us. I mean, You're led, ain't you, really, by the politician. After they cleared the concentration camps, because they burnt some of them down with the flamethrowers, didn't they? They paraded all the villagers, and they had a film show of that was enough to. But the Germans, even then, didn't believe it, some of them, because they were so far away, I suppose, they're so engrossed that they wouldn't believe it. But in the end, I think they showed these films on all the cinemas, and they made all the population had to go and see it.
Were you involved in that, did you?
Well, we was involved in that. We used to go round and parade, see them want no trouble, you know.
Mentioned these raids you did on former SS personnel.
Yeah, well, on ordinary German homes as well. I mean, if that was thought that somebody, you know, was a bit close to the hierarchy of the regime, like, you know, Hitler's soulmates and that. You know, there was quite a few people what didn't fight in the war, were little furious in the villages and that, you see. And we used to get information. We used to have to go with an officer and get all the people down in one room and then search a house from top to bottom.
How did you treat the Germans when you were doing these raids?
Well, if they didn't move enough, he used to kick them down the stairs. I've seen one bloke wasn't going to move, he wasn't going to get up out of his bed for a British corporal. He soon went down that stairs and he didn't touch half of them. And that's the way they used to treat them. The Germans used to treat their own people the same, didn't they?
And do any of these raids stick out in your mind for any reason?
Not really. We never. We used to go around the stations, and when the trains come in, we used to stand at the barrier and eye them up. That's where we used to catch them mostly. I mean, Germany was really in ribbons. I mean, you couldn't carry on doing much like that. I mean, the people were too busy salvaging bricks and that, trying to build up, weren't they?
So what were the conditions like in the city?
I should say terrible. I didn't go into the cities a lot. We was at small villages outside, I suppose. We went to Paderborn now once, and we was in the SS barracks. I don't know for what reason. Well, I don't know what that was. We went to Paderborn, and they'd had a firebomb raid in that town. The only place what wasn't hit were three barracks. Yeah, they were SS barracks, quite good barracks. We was in there for a short time, and I don't know where we went from there. In that last year, I moved around quite a bit. And then we used to go home on leave. Well, while I was in Emmerich, we was going through Emmerich, and we come across a police station, and, you know, with all these fancy helmets in. Of course, we took one on the end. And also, there was a big roll of notes there, you know, marked notes. Well, I kept these things in the turret all the while, and when we had to clean them out, they said, you've got to clean everything out, and you make a spruce. And they're going off. I got this roll of notes, and I just tossed them over the hedge, you know, and then we moved. And about 6 weeks later, they made them legal tender, and the mark was worth about sixpence. And I got and I slung them out. Oh, I thought, well, I ain't no good keeping these. I just threw them away.
Do you have any contact with the black market at all?
No, I didn't get very. You see, the other blacks did. Ted and all them got a bit more friendly, but with me being in the police, they close up on you. Although I got on very well with them, all the farmers and that. We used to go out, stake out the farms, what they used to raid in the out at their place, and they used to put on a good show for us, you know. Try and feed us and that, but we didn't want food. We got enough food, we had our own then. But they'd lay on a supper and a spread, you know. Got quite friendly with some of them. And they were, you know, we. I never had any feeling for any of the women out there. No, that's a funny thing. All the other blokes, they used to egg on and go on, leave the Brussels and that. But no, I never, I suppose I was a bit too young, I don't know. I didn't, you know, I mean, David Kinnaird, my driver, he was running about after every woman you could meet as soon as the war finished. I don't know.
You hear a lot about cigarettes becoming currency. Was that? Did you see that?
Oh, yeah. The cigarettes. Oh, yeah, you did anything for the cigarettes and that. Well, I mean, we used to have they fed us, I think it was a tin of 50 a week, and then we used to get. In the pack rations, we used to get tins of fags and that. I mean, in them days, it used to smell like chimney. I mean, that's. I don't know. Now I don't smoke at all.
So Germany at this time, what was the infrastructure like? Had it all collapsed?
Well, I'll give it to this. I mean, if there's any country what can recover, well, you can must realise that Germany recovered quicker than what we did. We were still on rations when Germany wasn't ration. I mean, they'd started long before I'd come back. They started rebuilding. I mean, they were salvaging bricks. So everywhere. Where there was devastation, they'd get all the bricks out what they could use again, and they really worked hard.
Who would do the salvaging?
Pardon?
Who would do that salvaging?
I don't know. The German people themselves, yeah. Oh, yeah. They were there pulling out these bricks and tiles, anything what was good. They was all graded out to the site. And then they were making these breeze blocks at a place near, where were they? Devil was that place? Where we were stationed anyway, we used to see them making these breeze blocks. We were bringing great weight, so fill it up and put this cement stuff in, and they'd have this thing up, pull it down, all done by hand, you know, pound it in to get it compact so that they can make a kind of breeze block out of a building, yeah. And they were doing that all day long. Oh, they worked hard. I don't know, a bloke got a small holding or a small farm, and he was ploughing with a single furrow plough, and his wife and kids were pulling it.